Welcome to Triple M. We've been eagerly awaiting this release, and I want to start by introducing the newest members, Liam and Elroy. Of course, Mitchell, no stranger to the band, but I'd love to start with you, Liam. As a solo artist, you've enjoyed so much success. I remember getting a fake ID to come and see Betcha Duper play. To have a career that you've had and to be in the band now, how does that kind of feel? It must be quite surreal.
Yeah, it is very surreal. I mean, I think I grew up watching Crowded House as a kid and seeing how much fun they looked like they had on stage and what, you know, joy they brought to the audience. And so that was my impression of what getting to be in a band was like. So in a way, to it's sort of like living that childhood dream of like, I wish I could do that and with them, you know, and here I am, you know. So, you know, it is pretty special. But also, it feels completely natural as well. You know, these songs are deeply ingrained in my DNA. I'm playing in my, you know, in my childhood favorite band. You know, I watched them play and always thought it looked like the greatest job in the world, and you know, but also it feels really natural to be playing these songs and been playing with Dad and Nick and Mitchell and Elroy, just sort of it's all ingrained.
Elroy, man, I've seen you play as a drummer, like watching you, it's so natural. You've got so much swing. You know, when we think of Paul Hester, I think of that big smile, that larger than life personality, but an incredible drummer. Do you think growing up listening to him without knowing, you kind of might have adapted a bit of his style?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably quite likely. Obviously, I know all these records and all the songs really well, just being around it growing up. Have always found that he's got one of the most unique and natural feels as a drummer, you know, all those records. And he doesn't overplay, and he just listens to it as music and to the other instruments. And that was definitely a big source of inspiration when I was figuring out, you know, whether I was going to take drums seriously and stuff like that. But obviously now playing a lot of the parts that he, you know, recorded and created, it only seems right to try and do them justice.
Mitchell, being back in the band, 35th anniversary since Crowded House's debut album, you can't really script any of this, can you?
No, I grew up in the 60s, always wanting to be in a band, and it took a little while.
Yeah, we asked, they thought, I'll wait till I'm in my 60s.
Yeah.
This is just an evolving lineup, and I think if we hadn't have felt, all of us, that there was a potential to take the band to greater heights and to explore new angles and embrace the experience that everyone's had within Crowded House, then it wouldn't be a worthy exercise. So already on this new record, Dreamers Awaiting, there's a few really good collaborations. Everyone's come up with ideas beyond their actual role. There's co-writes. Some of the songs worked up on the floor. You know, it's the way bands should operate, and I think it's only going to get more and more like that as time goes on. We've discovered we play really well together. You know, that's the first discovery a band has to make.
Hey, guys, would I actually be able to get a little bit about Whatever You Want and how that track came together?
Kind of almost started off sounding just like a little jingle piece. We mucked around with it a lot in the studio and kind of simplified it and then complicated it. And then I don't even really understand how we got to where we got, but a big part of it was we knew it needed to have a kind of something danceable about it. It wasn't until the bass line kind of came
were
to
they
be
the original drums?
Yeah, that's
like a great second, drum track.
It's like a second take.
Okay, and then then you sent me, and I can't even remember what the bass part was I came up with originally. And then you sent me a pattern of what you thought worked as a kind of looped thing of highlights of a bass part.
Liam and Elroy both went in and separately did one pass, and one of the ideas was brilliant for the verse and one of the ideas was brilliant for the chorus, and they just sent it to you as loops.
And so then I kind of tried it on a number of different basses to try and work out which way is easy for me to finger something that moves so quickly.
Some energy.
Basically, it was one of those, sometimes have songs that you're really proud of but you don't necessarily listen to a lot, but for a while when we were recording it, I kept on just opening that session just to like turn it up really loud in my studio and enjoy it. And so I guess that and I liked the way that Dad sang it. It reminded me of Devo, who are one of my favorite bands, and you know, so it was just
I like making Mitchell play a 80s new wave keyboard part, which is kind of like an anathema to him in most conditions, isn't it, Mitch?
Well, it brought back some memories.
You recorded a lot of this live too?
We were very fortunate in our timing because we'd booked over a studio which was like a 60s timepiece in the valley. We thought we were just going to demo songs, and it was hard to get a good sound in there, but we really, in the room, fought to get the sound right as a band would. And because we didn't know we were actually tracking, We thought we were just demoing. We weren't quite putting so much pressure on ourselves. But we ended up, I think a lot of those first recordings ended up as the basis of the record. And then we moved to another studio, did some other good recording on the floor as a band. And then the pandemic hit. We were suddenly in our own quarantines. But we had the beautiful situation of having all these band tracks, you know, to work on and to overdub and send files to each other. So we did feel very fortunate.
What was that like producing, getting all of these tracks being sent from everyone from, you know, different parts of, you know, the country and the world, you know, piecing that together while everyone was in quarantine?
We all did it together. This is not a band that needs a proper record producer. Liam, Elroy, Nick, certainly Neil, they all produce themselves. They all know way too much to have someone standing over them. So it was just a collective and it worked well together because there was no ego involved. All the discussions were high level music discussions. So when I would get tracks from them, I had quite a few weird keyboards in my studio. So I just goofed around and tried to come up with some cool things and then send it to them. And then a lot of times, you know, Elroy, Liam, Neil, they'd have keyboard parts and they'd show up in my doorstep and they'd be good. And so I've already gotten a lot of compliments on things I didn't play on this record. So I'll take it.
When you're writing an album, do you feel like you need an end point, like a deadline? Someone to say, hey, it's got to be finished by this point, otherwise, you know, just keep writing songs and keep adding.
That particular issue is thrown into stark relief by the fact that we were quarantined for so long and there was no real manual for whether it was better to get a record out straight away or wait for a tour. So we did have more time than we normally would have to actually work on the songs. And I don't think it made a mess of anything. It sometimes does when you've got too much time. But I think we had a chance to throw things up in the air and reconstruct them on a few songs, really benefited from that. Little new discoveries and keeping them fresh, you know. And now we're treating the album as being true to its time, and it's been finished now for a few months. We waited a little while to put it out. We were hoping to be touring by June. We've already done New Zealand. The rest of the world's still a little unknown. But we're happy to have the record coming out. It's had a lot of time to sort of support it with video and sort of get the, you know, Nick's got a beautiful, beautiful artwork for the album cover. We've been able to get the album cover and all that stuff that sometimes is a real pressurized part of record making. We've given it its due. We've got some good time to make videos. We're appreciating the extra time to kind of work around the edges and present Crowded House as a fully realized vision.
I'd love to know the stories behind To the Island, how this one came together.
My brother and I, Tim and I, we're writing for a potential musical which hasn't really emerged. And it's quite often that songs come about being written for one purpose and either rejected or, you know, not taken up. And you get some good songs from that. It's happened to me a few times. To the Island was an interesting piece of music. And the chorus line of, in the idea of finding a safe refuge somewhere, you know, escaping and saving your soul in some smaller place because the world's becoming too overwhelming. Really resonated for us last year. It was already in the program anyway, so it wasn't purely because of circumstances. But it helped me finish the lyrics and give me an idea of being whisked off the street in some kind of sense of chaos and confusion and into a smaller, soulful environment. You know, that's the song. It has a little humor. We made the video separately about that, trying to bridge that gap of getting together, you know, as a band, so in our separate locations.
So was that process beforehand just sending each other voice memos, maybe a melody idea, a guitar part, a lyric or a harmony?
Dad had a bunch of stuff that he'd already put down as demos and also things that he'd written for a potential musical of a book that him and Tim had been working on. So there was a few things lying around and he sent them around to us quite early on. And there was a natural attraction to some of them. And, you know, there were some that were just immediately we could imagine us playing on, you know. So I think it was quite obvious going into the first rehearsals which ones we were excited about from the demos he'd sent. But then from there as well, some of them took complete left turns and we, you know, completely dismantled them and put them back together and tried things every which way, you know. And then other stuff was actually sort of written on the spot from a guitar line that someone had been, you know, floating around and for, you know, sometimes, you know, years. Like most bands, you kind of find yourself jamming quite often when you think you're not being recorded or when there's no pressure, and that's when you sort of make those big leaps. Quite a few of the songs actually came out of the first couple of weeks of us all jamming together.
It's hard to know, really. I mean, how,
can't remember.
How far back are we going? It's about 2 years, isn't it?
Well, I'm thinking from Seahorse, so that's a year and a half.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
they did. I mean, you know, there were times where we thought they should be coming together quicker, but then not. Yeah. But then thinking, no, you know, do we actually have enough? And my brain became completely addled by how many we had, and then being confused which ones were the ones that I really, really wanted to go as far as we could possibly go before we threw them out. Because a lot of things got laid to waste. I remember there being one situation in Seahorse, or no, it was at Valentine, where Neil said, right, we've got 60 seconds now to make a gain on this song or it's out. And I was like, oh my God, is this the one that I really want? Because it came out of a jam at David's place, maybe, or... I can't remember even now which song it was, but I suddenly thought, oh my God, I've got to remember what I was playing at that time 3 weeks ago, or we're going to lose this song, and I think this is the one I really like.
There can be intense moments, you know. There's points, the hard part of getting anything going is the learning and the figuring it out. And we had a great will to spend as much time as it took. But you've got to go through some torturous moments with the songs. You know, you only half believe in them when you bring them forward. Occasionally they immediately sound good because the band's grabbed hold of them. And occasionally you think, we're not getting it, you know. And so I can get a bit emphatic at the time and, you know, lacking in tact and class.
Not at all. I mean, you want to get it down to... what are the absolutely undeniable ones for you to then pursue and bring them to their next
believability? We all do in a way, but
made sense.
Because some of it's to do with the songwriting and whether the song's finished, but other times we've even had memorably a song called Start of Something in the studio, like it was something that me and Dad had written together and actually pushed quite far along when we brought to the band. It was pretty much almost completely finished. We just needed to figure out how we were going to play it as a band, and it was one of the first things we tried, and we played it really quite straight at first, and it sounded cool, but we were like, well, this is too straight, too middle of the road or something. I don't know what we thought. We wanted to mess with it, and when we went through, the next 2 hours was probably almost the most torturous of the entire recording.
Almost the whole day, I think.
We went for ages, and we ended up just hating it and thinking we were terrible. And then on the album is the second time we played it, basically the beginning of the day, you know, before all the torture happened. And, we just lost objectivity and tried too hard to make it interesting, not without realizing we already had the take.
We would have recognized it if it had come later in the process.
Right.
But if you're starting something and you want it to be fresh and new, you want to push the boundaries so that the record doesn't feel too conservative. It's just, it landed at the wrong point for us, so we couldn't recognize it.
Yeah. And to be honest, a lot of this record ended up being the first couple of takes that we ever did of it. We quite often went back and ended up using them because they have that sort of unselfconscious, you know, they're not thought about too much. There's a magic that happens, like when you're demoing. And I'm really glad that we captured that on this record. At least four of the songs are like first or second takes.
As a result of everything we were talking about before, the new Crowded House album, from the harmonies, lyrics, production, melodies, it just sounds like a band really firing on all cylinders and just really enjoying themselves, which I think, you know, you can hear in those recordings and why people are so excited. Can we just go back to the origins of how this all came together?
The idea for being a band emerged probably nearly 2 years ago now. The tail end of my experience with Fleetwood Mac, I was pondering what to do next. And I'd seen in the course of that year before, we had also done a number of other things with Elroy and Mick. We did a few shows in Australia, Golden Plains, including Golden Plains, and really fantastic tour. And just, you know, Elroy and Nick as a rhythm section was a very exciting prospect for that tour, and everybody felt it. And Liam and I had done Light Sleeper album, and we'd done a whole lot of shows for that, actually before the album even came out. With Elroy, we were getting really ingrained and really enjoying playing together. And there was a particular gig at Largo in Los Angeles that Mitchell joined us and basically jammed all night, because we didn't really give him too many other briefs, with on that Hammond organ. And those things were all fresh in my mind, and it just felt like a good time to broach the subject. And every time I broached the subject with all of those people, everyone just went, yeah, it sounds good. You know, there wasn't any hesitation, which I kind of expected. I was a bit sheepish about it. I don't know if everybody thought it was a good idea. And that's as simple as it was, really. I guess I had a new appreciation for the idea of a classic band being able to be reworked, re-energized, redefined, because I'd just done that, being part of that process with another band. All those things were playing in my head.
Were you all, as songwriters, writing songs and maybe holding particular tracks for, if Crowded House got back together rather than a solo song or playing with your other bands?
There's songs that are in various states of finishedness that are floating around all the time. And I think the idea of the vehicle or the collaboration is what is the appealing first notion. You know, the sound of Nick's bass playing with the ideas that I have, the way that Elroy swings in his, hi-hat with the way that I play, the way that Liam and I had figured out really nice things to do together on guitars and the way our voices were blending. Those things were the sort of ingredients that draw you to the rehearsal room. And then the songs come out and the ones that the band naturally plays are the ones that sound Crowded Housey, Other ones are left on the floor for a future date, for some other context perhaps. But yeah, we found out at the first rehearsal, and with Mitchell, of course, his influence, we found out the songs that we naturally played really well.
Are you guys still writing now? Do you feel like you're still writing Crowded House's songs?
I'm writing right now, actually. That last thing you said is second line of the first verse.
You have to share some publishing now.
Okay. And now you've admitted it.
There's a constant process of trying to keep everything up in the light and the muscles exercised. We will go back. It'll be interesting to see what happens next. We've got a few months now before we can tour. This has been an intense period of being a band. I mean, heavens be praised. We didn't know we'd be able to. We were able to stand in a room and play music together. That was joyful enough. We've had that experience, but it's been intense. We'll go home and we'll have that weird, what do we do now feeling. But that's when good stuff can happen, because all our musical muscles have been exercised. We'll be, in some ways, in a peak state and a lot of new experiences to mine.
How did you guys all hold up last year? I mean, you're all used to being, touring musicians, always traveling. And, with everything being uncertain, it must have been strange having so much momentum going into recording, but then on the other half, not really knowing what was going to happen next.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody was in a limbo last year, so it's sort of hard to be objective. We were definitely crushed to not be able to follow through with the plans that we had, which was all looking really exciting. But like Dad was saying, we made use of the time, and there's even a song called Bad Times Good, which is kind of, somewhat inspired by the idea of trying to make the best out of a rough situation. But we're all just ready. We're amped to go now. And when, we're also probably, you live in the moment, I guess, because no one knows what's going to happen in the next couple of months. So we're just making the most of the fact that we're all together right now. We got to play show, probably one of the most, if not the most fortunate band in the world, playing the shows that we just did. And when we do get to play this album and when we do get to travel the world again, it's going to be an amazing release of, of 2 years of, I'm sure for everyone, pent up catharsis,
What was it like playing this first show back in New Zealand? It just must have been so exciting. Not only for you, I saw a picture you posted the other day, but for all the crew that were involved in these shows too. It just must have been such a huge sense of joy.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone definitely was not taking it for granted and feeling very lucky and privileged. I mean, the majority of New Zealand, New Zealand was obviously fared pretty well during this, and it's remained open for, most of the time. There's been a couple of lockdowns, but most New Zealand bands have almost had the best times of their life because there's no international acts. So it's been a really good time to be a New Zealand band touring the country, because a lot of my peers have had, sold out shows across the country because people want to see the live music. And, and luckily we've got some really great bands here, but I'm assuming the same goes for all the crew and stuff in this country, is that they've actually been, there was a little moment there where the first lockdown happened. There was a huge rallying to keep venues open and to keep crew, alive. But then all of a sudden it was a, really thriving little ecosystem that's going. But, we had we had a huge crew.
Of 45, wasn't it?
Yeah.
45 we had, people.
People operating video cameras for the screens, and it felt like a big, by the end of it, I think we just about met everybody. Luckily we had a sort of a send-off party at the end, but there was so many people that it was actually quite hard to...
Yeah, it's nice to be able to I hope they all got jobs to go to now. Like, it was really nice to be able to employ that many people and have purposefully and have it succeed. And, you know, it's a very positive feeling. Take forward into the, you know, we just can't wait to do it. I mean, it must be. We're definitely coming to Australia this year. We haven't confirmed or announced yet, but we're absolutely confident that we'll be doing the same thing in Australia. And that is a very exciting prospect. It was a delight. And actually, we realized that we hadn't made really complicated songs to play. Most of them, anyway, were simple enough for a five-piece band to render really well.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me today. Everyone in Australia is just buzzing to hear this new album. Right. It means so much to so many people. And to have you back with Liam, Elroy, Mitchell, you sound like you're having a lot of fun playing together, and you hear it in the recordings. And we can't wait to see you live and, you know, sing along to the new songs and the songs we love when you come back to Australia. So thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Fantastic, Maddie. Good talking to
you. Thanks, Maddie.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.